This is Bucky Bacall. Recently, on the Backyard Chicken Broadcast, I shared some of my strategies for protecting my garden from the sometimes destructive tendencies of chickens, who not only like to eat some of the same veggies we do, but also enjoy the taste of recently planted seeds, barely emerged leaves, and newly blossomed flowers. The least desirable but safest method of chicken-garden coexistence would be to keep your chickens cooped up whenever you have a garden growing. To me and a lot of other chickeners, this defeats the fun of having backyard chickens. On the other hand, I've seen some very pleasant, spacious chicken runs that are universes away from the factory farm conditions I regularly criticize on this show. Fenced chickens can socialize, spread their wings, and have all kinds of food brought to them in their big old run, and have all that plus protection from the weather and predators. So a chicken cooper could argue that they're almost as kind to their flock as the free-range backyard chickener. Some folks attempt to have the best of both worlds with a chicken tractor, or mobile coop, with a bottom that's open to the ground, so every so often the chickens get a change of scenery and get to eat the bugs and grass off different sections of the yard, which also means they'll be tilling the soil. This is a small-scale way of rotating land. Personally, I prefer to fence the plants in. I put temporary fencing around rows that need protection, which means the hens can still debug the perimeters, which is a very effective, although not quite 100% method, of debugging. It also keeps the chickens guessing about which fences they can scale or climb under. They also won't spend as much time figuring out how to break in, if you keep them distracted, by bringing plenty of the kind of goodies they'd get inside your garden directly to them. I regularly visit bearing gifts of fresh vegetable trimmings. Other times I walk in the garden, looking for bugs which I then throw out to the chickens, which would be quite a bit of manual labor if it wasn't so much fun. I used to be kind of grossed out touching bugs when I pulled them off my plants, but now I look forward to being the one to dole out choice bugs to my waiting hens. The truth is, a chickener in the position of gathering inaccessible bugs and handing them out to waiting hens is acting like a rooster and establishing a chain of command that helps keep order in a flock of hens. Another idea I haven't discussed on the show yet, but which was brought to my attention by some gardening friends, is the chicken moat, where the chickens have a maze of open runs that serpentine around many small vegetable rows. I hope you can use some of this advice in order to have your own flock of chickens and your own garden. But do remember that the real secret is being creative, figuring out what works for your chickens, and realizing that if you want to stay ahead of them, you may have to change your strategy regularly. Chickens are very smart, but there's a good chance that if you take a row cover or fence away during the winter and put it back up come spring, it will take them a while to remember that they can fly over it or dig underneath it. Or, if you notice them about to get past a barrier, make it tougher before they succeed. One thing about most all critters, including humans, is that if they learn they can solve a problem, it makes them that much more persistent the next time. If you are going to go with a more permissive approach, allowing limited or frequent access to your gardens, I do have some warnings. First of all, you probably should get bantam or smaller size hens. You probably don't want a rooster, and you absolutely do not want a full-size rooster. Early in my days of chickening, after having great success with bantam chickens, I started to dream about having one of the beautiful exotic breeds strutting around my yard. My partner was fixated on the green eggshells and cute tufts of feathers around the ears of the impure Americana mix, sometimes known as Easter egg chickens. Meanwhile, I couldn't get through the day without looking at photographs of the crazy-looking white-headed black Polish. Our choices were limited by the fact that we didn't want to ship chicks through the mail, and we didn't know any small-scale birders who could provide us with special breeds. So we broke down one April weekend and drove 30 miles to a place that was not quite a factory farm and thus not too much of a stretch of our ethics. We had to purchase unsexed chicks, which is known as straight run, and which also meant we had no idea whether the chicks would become hens or roosters. Within a few months, we knew we had roosters. They were docile as roosters go, but they dwarfed our banty hens in size before they were even full grown, and they tore through whatever bits of yard they could, including a lot of garden that had lax security, more appropriate to banty hens. I remember coming home one day to see several square feet of dense peppermint that the hens had never so much as pecked at, torn down to bare dirt. we found a new home for the roosters. Not because of what they had done to our garden, but because we knew it was just a matter of time before a neighbor would turn us in for illegally harboring crowing roosters in the Boise city limits. They were adopted out while we could still save some of our crops, and we learned a practical lesson about picking breeds appropriate to one's property and gardening and chickening philosophy. Before you even find out whether your chickens can break into your garden, or what they'll do to your veggies once they get there, you should have remediation plans in mind. Always have some seasoned compost or soil ready to fill in holes at the base of plants as soon as hens dig them. Mulching with straw prevents too deep digging and keeps them from returning to the same spot. They do prefer bare dirt when deciding where to take a dust bath. Be ready to stake plants they pull down while pecking at high-placed treats. Learn what things your chickens will never leave alone and plant them together and fence them in. Then leave the stuff they won't destroy in the open where they can wander around. For many chickens, pole beans, corn, sunflower, and other tall plants provide shade and bugging, but aren't tempting to eat. Keep in mind that they will eat the seedlings, though, so protect them until they're big enough. We often open up fenced-in areas as soon as that crop season is over. This distracts the hens from trying to break into beds that are just coming into season. For instance, we always start our growing season with lettuces and arugula. We must guard those beds jealously in the spring, but once the weather heats up, we find those greens overly bitter. At that point, we open up the patch, and the chickens are thrilled to eat those bitter greens. They are occupied for at least a couple weeks, stripping bare and tilling those beds. By then, we're ready to plant something else there, and another bed may be safe to open up for hunting and pecking. Needless to say, we spend a lot of time constructing and removing temporary fencing, but the garden-hen-human harmony we get in return is well worth spending the extra hours puttering around outside. My advice is to consider accepting a small sacrifice as part of the deal. Think of the bug damage you'd have to deal with without hens, or that your crops might be less productive without their fertilizer, or that you'd have to spend money on commercial bug control or fertilizer. Considering all that, is a hen-pecked tomato every once in a while such a high price to pay? This is Bucky Bacall. I had a good time. Bucky Bacall's Backyard Chicken Broadcast was produced by the Sagebrush Variety Show with support from Boise Community Radio and the Green Institute.